Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome to Minnesota 168, I think, because I never know, but I'm always right. I'm
just what is that?
What's yeah, what got? Is that?
What is he holding?
What are you squeezing? So
one of those squeeze things. This is an inside joke for Final Fantasy 14 players that was given out at FanFest, but it's just a stress thing. And you can see I've used it so much. I'm wearing off the print.
Oh, is that
and
the
it's
low
mostly
texture
from this
grapes?
Podcast. I'm just like,
yeah. I gotta keep it together. Okay. One more
guys,
episode. Say, one more week.
If you want to see Jesse's antics, head over to patreon.com/chillmoneypod where you can upgrade.
You can see us in real life.
To see his low resolution grapes or whatever those are.
Yeah, my low res grapes.
It's a crystal eggplant thing.
Yeah.
It's a crystal grapes. And it became such a meme, they re put it back in the game as another joke.
I love that.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, you see they, may I take the that, lead to see, get.
Sorry, yeah, I just want to do one more little stupid video game thing. Fridging the butler now freezes the butler in Tomb Raider. Yay.
Hey! It, he doesn't teleport out.
No, he actually turns icy now. So that's fun.
That's hilarious.
Very cute.
Now
it's like a mini horror game wings. Built into that freaking game. I remember being so scared of that dude. Let's take the reins and get this out of the way. Because a few things have happened in the UAP world that are worth obviously just talking about. Kirkpatrick, for one, wrote his op-ed and was published. And then the DOD released a statement the same day. And then declassified budget briefing was released and then removed and then not put back up. I checked the next day. It still wasn't there. I need to check again today. But no idea. And it's interesting because the op-ed from Kirkpatrick is filled with lies straight up with some of them and complete removal of facts for others. He consistently said, for instance, that Grush kept talking about aliens from other planets. And one of Grush's biggest things coming forward was, I don't want to use your word extraterrestrials because that's not what I think, like what I've been informed that they are. So right out the gate, he's just making shit up with Grush. But the other thing that he just neglects to talk about, and it's a big thing, having said, basically the piece basically said, we don't, it's not extraterrestrial or whatever. Fine. Here's the issue. One, he openly said when the AARO was made, he only has Title 10 clearance. What Title 10 clearance means is he has access to Army and Naval records, but nothing within the intelligence community and nothing over active war zones. So any of the stuff like the Mosul orb and all that stuff, he was not privy to. He also actively said that means he cannot investigate the Nimitz encounter. And the only information he had on the Nimitz encounter is what the public had. This is his own words. So he isn't even able to investigate some of the most prominent UAP reporting and sightings that are on there. And then goes on to claim that though with his Title 10 clearance, he got to see everything and he made a decision. Moreover, AARO is still going. Is still going. He's being replaced and it's still continuing under new leadership. And it's going to continue doing studies. And the statement that was released by the DOD the same day Kirkpatrick released his op-ed basically said, we don't have any cohesive way or funding to accurately and successfully study the UAP phenomena. So Kirkpatrick comes out and says, I did all the studying. here's what we found, nothing. The DOD then goes, we actually don't have any way to comprehensively study the UAPs. And then a week later, we learn that the AA-SWAP was real, something that Elizondo claimed in 2018, and the government and a bunch of people, including Kirkpatrick and Susan Gao, said isn't real. And then it came out in the fucking funding papers that were removed in like 2 hours. And now we don't know if they're out there right now at all. And they were on the military's website. It just, it
for clarity, real quick for clarity, Mathis messaged us like, yo, this, I think I'm going, am I going insane? What does this mean? And sent a link. And within moments of clicking that link, it was 404. And I was like, bro,
MediaDefense.gov. It is still 404, by the way. I clicked on it again right now. Still not there.
You just sent it. Yeah,
it was media.defense.gov/2024/Jan/25, the day it was posted.
And we've confirmed there's no other link.
/20. I have not found any other link that leads to this.
Document site or anything that.
Not that's been made public.
Interesting. We'd have to,
it was over the weekend as well, right? It's been a few days now. So there should be one up there if it's supposed to be public. Yeah, but basically the Kirkpatrick op-ed basically just boils down to the same thing Project Blue Book was and ATIP was. These things that were denied to exist came out and then said no aliens, and then they close it down and make another secret program to continue studying UAPs.
Well, it's frustrating. Yeah. It seems like it's inside each of these well-meaning sort of enterprises that also exists the disinformation, according to everybody whoever like has any accreditation. You know, they say like instead of trying to cover it up, they just cover it in nonsense so that you can't recognize it, right? And I think that it's frustrating.
I don't know if he's coming out. I just think that Kirkpatrick was only given access to very restricted information and was basically like Hynek was told when he was hired, give us real reasons that these are not actually weird and unexplainable, and we'll come forward and publish your findings.
I guess what I'm wondering is like, what's the organization within these groups like in terms of like who is just genuinely trying to get answers and who is like manipulating? Because if that's what we're going to say, right? If we're going to say that there's like forces at work behind the scenes, which like even like senators and congressmen are like saying, like there are people actively trying to stop this from coming out right now, right? Like that's what
the other thing that isn't brought up too, which you remind me of, is the UAP amendment by Schumer that before it got voted on, a week before, three Republican House members gutted it so that any of the military industrial complex had an out that basically said, except they don't have to comply. Right. And then it got passed, and it's like, well, now it's just lit. Like, it doesn't do anything.
It doesn't matter.
They can't actually enforce
it. But that's my question.
So if that's all happening, why is Kirkpatrick being like, there's nothing, by the way?
But that's my question is like, what's the line? Like, who is like, of the agenda, we need to not have this information out there, which seems to be a different goal than the sort of earnest scientific goal of like cataloging and tracking these phenomena. You know what I mean? Where is the line there? If we're going to buy into that idea, if we're going to buy into that narrative, where is the line?
Even if aliens aren't the answer, even if it's just government secret projects that are over compartmentalized, that still needs to be found out. There can't be parts of the government that are operating outside of oversight.
Without UFOs in the equation, that's not okay. Even if it was
millions and millions and millions of dollars, I've already been on paper from the House committees shown be going to places that they can't get access to.
Yeah.
It could be Joe Biden eating happening.
Sandwiches that are really expensive every day for three meals a
follow
day
the money.
Cost $5,000.
Like, exactly. You
know what I mean? Use that wouldn't be, that would be acceptable for unoversightable money, right?
The answer is really simple and sucky, but it's true. The whole, like, where's this money going? What's going on? We're spending money on things that don't make any sense. There's what it boils down to is the weird way, and I'm sure anyone in business has had to deal with this, and it's bizarre, where it's like, okay, let's say I run the Chilluminati company, and Alex and Mathis are part of my R&D division, and last year I gave them $40 million to come up with the new version of Chilluminati.
Can I say
snacks.
Something really quick? Can I say something really quick? I fucking wish that you gave me $40 million to make some snacks, motherfucker.
I wish I had $40 million to give.
I would take that brief. Yeah. I would take that brief and I would soar with it, baby. I want you to know that you get the best goddamn snacks you have ever seen for fucking $40 million. Are you serious? We take that
so
shit over.
So let's say I gave them $40 million. And the next year, they, like, at the end of the year when we did all the taxes and rent through everything, it turns out they only spent $38 million.
Right.
Well, the next year, I would only give them $38 million because that's what they're spending. Right? And so it's that weird thing where people are so afraid, especially in government, to not use every ridiculous dime and be like, we need more, guys, that they keep... They'll like, instead of, if you could get a, you know, a bunch of tissue paper for $6, they get the $12 version, right? We got to spend that money. And it's such a weird thing that it, you know, it ends up with the old, like, you know, $800 toilet or $500 hammer, like those things. Right. The money vanishes because
we know the Pentagon failed its audit multiple times and we know all this stuff, but whatever this aspect of like compartmentalization is, there's just shit around it that is also like fucking weird and red flaggy. Like,
but what I'm saying is they'll never let us follow the money.
That's the problem. Because
once you follow the money, then you realize how absolutely dysfunctional the entire federal government is.
Yeah. My question is
I definitely agree with you.
If you're an expert and you're listening to the show, if you're like an educated person in this matter, how often is classification and like top secret designation used to like circumvent oversight? Like, if I don't know
probably
like how much info there is on this out there just because of the nature of it, right? But I'm very interested in like how often that happens, a, and secondly, like, do we ever find out what kind of stuff is normally done in this way? Like, is it usually like innocuous stuff that they're trying to sneak through? Or are we talking about like almost every time it's like some kind of black ops and wet work scenario?
Well, if you're an expert and you're going to answer this, do me the favor of, because just like do so, like look into specifically like where what we're talking about in terms of where this money is going and see if it's any weirder or different than what you would expect from whatever.
That's exactly what I mean. Like, what is the vibe with this type of stuff? Like,
compare.
How big of a concern is this? How common of a concern is this? Are there a million different things that could be the UFO budget that we're talking about here? Like, or
so
is this just
one of the things?
I don't know.
One of the things that's interesting is that based, and this is just based on recent, you know, when everyone was going after Trump for keeping classified stuff in Mar-a-Lago, and then Trump was like, well, Biden has classified stuff, and Biden was like, you know what, I do, here, I have it back, and then they were like, oh, this other guy has classified stuff. Turns out, when people are going through that, and they were realizing that, like, the government has classified stuff everywhere.
It's very normal.
I was watching a special about it, where they were talking about how classified stuff is now classified specifically because it may potentially one day so like a great example is they were like, we classified an email as top secret because in the email someone mentioned an event that was connected to an actual top secret thing, and so we just flagged it. But it's like a normal email that has, it's like, yo, what are you doing Friday, like, and so that's top secret. And so they just do it to everything because it's easier than doing it. I don't know if I like all that. It makes it seem like it's not
rather than but that's what I'm saying. Like, there's something. I want to know the mundanity of these classifications. Is basically what I'm saying. Because like,
because it's all different levels of them, right?
It takes me immediately to like fucking Solid Snake. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
me too. Even though
when
that's
you
not
when
correct.
You hear me say when I hear top secret, when I say confidential, I'm like, somebody's dying to a silence bullet, right? Like, I don't know what's going on, but it's saucy. But I think that's not. I think I'm misinterpreting that.
In the realm of slight vague, not vague, but slightly less specific. The other thing is we've talked about on the show plenty of times, and Jesse, you bring up the question fairly, is like, what is the purpose of a country coming out first? Like, why does it matter which country comes out first and says what aliens are real? Okay. And the answer is so simple that I'm kind of mad I didn't think about it, because whoever is able to figure out the technology first wins. There's no more world wars. There is no more fighting. If we can figure out the technology, if it is as fast and physics defying as it is, and
science
we figure
victory.
It out first,
yeah,
we win. You do. We get the nuke again.
But
essentially,
like, I don't know if that's true. And I feel like the best example of that is we figured
the nuclear
out
nuclear bomb is like
yeah,
the
we figured out nukes first, and we did, I don't know that we're winning per se.
But that was the idea behind it, right? Like, that was Oppenheimer's idea, is like deterrence. Once you see the power of the nuke, no one will ever have war
right,
again.
Right, but it was a faulty idea. True. Same thing here.
Yeah,
I would say that the race to get future tech is going to make it only worse.
No, Jesse, we have schools that teach history of the rise of Nazism. it's happening again. So like, it's just because people know it happens doesn't mean people don't repeat the same mistake.
What we need I'm just saying it's free goofy. From ills, gentlemen. Have you considered a society free from ills?
Oh yes, if only we could
remove suffering. And under my leadership, none shall suffer, for I'll make sure they don't.
Utopia? Yeah. Can we do it like under the water, away from the eyes of man in law?
To the sweat of his brow.
Please, Andrew Ryan, is it you?
Let me tell you about this news story right here, right now. It's about, it's in Waukesha, Wisconsin. I hope I did that right. In 2014, there were two women who nearly stabbed their sixth grade classmate to death to please the Slender Man. And this happened in 2014.
I watched a documentary about this.
Yeah.
I brought it up in the main episode.
Now 10 years ago. Yeah, weirdly, you just brought it right up, which is so crazy. Morgan Geyser was the like more active participant. The other one was like the egger on, but Morgan was the one who did the stabbing. She asked the judge for a conditional release. She almost did this 2 years ago, but then she withdrew it for some reason. They had a quick hearing. They're going to examine her mental condition by the end of February, and there's going to be a hearing sometime in April to decide whether she can come out. She was in a Winnebago, and she did a video call into the courtroom. It was very uneventful. Just as a reminder, they were 12 years old. They lured their classmate out to the park after a sleepover, stabbed her 19 times. She barely survived. They left her for dead. She crawled onto a bike path and somebody found her there. Police found them both later that day while they were walking down the road. They told her that they were stabbing her to earn the right to become Slenderman servants and protect their families from the Slenderman. Morgan pled guilty to first degree intentional homicide in a deal. And she went to a psychiatric institute after determining that she was mentally ill. And Wire, the other girl, pleaded guilty to second degree intentional homicide and was sent to a psychiatric facility. And she also was suffering from mental illness. She got conditional release in 2021. She lives with her dad with a GPS monitor. And I guess we're going to find out what happens with Morgan. Pretty insane news story. Pretty insane, like, series of events to occur involving the Slender Man. The most like disgustingly Black Mirror-y, self-reflexive, like chicken or the egg quandary of a Slender Man story that you could possibly imagine. Totally insane.
Yeah. It's a horrifying story. I remember when it happened, just like okay, well, modern day myths can also cause equal amounts of destructive habits.
Especially for the young.
Mm-hmm.
Totally wild.
It's one of those things where I was, before we started doing this minisode, I got caught up in the fact that I was watching a video of a man talking about his experiences in Vietnam. And he was just like, yeah, they hated me. And I get it, because I like tore up their country and their culture and everything about them. And it's just like him talking about the experience. And he's like, I listened to what McNamara and all the people in charge were talking about. And that wasn't the war I was fighting. And it's fascinating because I was like, a dude was talking in the comments. A dude was talking about his dad and how his dad was in the war and his experience was totally different from this guy's experience because he was on the home front. He had all the propaganda hitting him. And I was just like in this weird headspace where I realized all this happened before I was even born.
Like, before and he so existed.
To yeah. me, that's a like a. An idea, a concept, a thing that occurred, but to my dad, he lived it, and so he's an entire different experience with it. And so the way you perceive
like
things,
about the Civil War or something versus 9/11,
and same thing with a kid born in the year 2000 is 24 now, and so their experience is vastly different from my experience because they're when they talk about the 90s, it's like a fantasy world to them, like oh everything was better in the 90s. I'm like. I don't know about all that, but it's interesting that these young girls, they got caught up in like a fake thing that isn't real, but it's in the ethos culturally of the internet. And it like, it's crazy to me.
Had no lineage. They were besides just young. Like a few years, you know, had like a couple yeah. computer games, a creepypasta or two.
Yeah.
Like, man,
I don't know. It's weird. Crazy.
It's like no more real than Slenderman ever was. It's just like, I don't know. It's just seriously crazy.
But is he more real now? Because someone's life was basically almost taken for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Alex, what do you got for us?
That was me.
That was Alex.
No, wait, shit. Jesse. Guy. Jesse, what were you? What do you got? Well, Jesse took over and I got confused. My brain mushed them all up.
It's all right. You can be confused because
look more the same than me and Mathis or Jesse and Mathis do. So I get it. Jesse and I look more the same.
I'll take it.
Than anybody else.
Appreciate
on the show.
Excuse.
Yeah.
But only one of you has a fuck to death neon sign behind you.
Hell no. You can't see what that says. That says
cuck to death. Cuck to death.
It says cuck to death.
That says
cuck to death.
It says watch Jiminy Glick to death.
Glick to death. So here in LA, some interesting things are happening. And I would really like our listeners in the like 12 months before you get this mini-sode sent out to you, I would really like the listeners to consider this. The Center for Inquiry Investigations Group, the CFIIG, which is based in Los Angeles, has issued a $500,000 challenge to anyone who can demonstrate any paranormal, supernatural, or occult power under scientific test conditions.
Love it.
Like I said, based in LA, their whole vibe is to spread a plague of skepticism across the world, and it approaches its work from the perspective of science-based skepticism.
I don't like who phrased plague of skepticism.
I know they did because they're
probably
trying to get people
skeptic, yeah. Fair enough.
Like they're trying
to
egg people
though.
On.
I want to, yeah, if you think you got fucking supernatural abilities, go show it. Prove it.
According to the group's website, applicants will need to be able to perform their ability reliably on demand and can do so either online or by meeting up with one of the group's representatives in person. CFIIG will work with applicants to design a test protocol and define the conditions under which the test will take place, the website states. In most cases, the applicant will be able to perform an informal demonstration of the claimed ability or phenomenon. If the demonstration is successful, it will be followed up by a formal test, which will be administered by CFIIG representatives. And then they say, even though they're offering $500,000 to anyone who can do it, if you recommend someone, they'll pay you $5,000 for the recommendation.
That's awesome.
If they're real. So they're out here looking X-Men. To pay. If you're looking to get, if you can like, whoop, 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 get yourself some money, dog. I'm just saying that's $500,000.
The Enter the Dragon of up close magic competitions just went off and it's open season on $500,000 for the best magician who ever did live. Is that what you're saying?
If they can, yeah. If they have some sort of paranormal, supernatural, or cult like powers.
I know that they've done this type of thing in the past and people have beaten these tests. So I'm interested to see what happens. I love the idea. You know, what's his name? That guy who passed away recently was like the famous like skeptic magician.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The guy who got Uri Geller or whatever.
Is his name Randy? Something like
the
that.
The Amazing Randy, yes.
Yeah.
The Amazing like that, Randy.
Yeah. He was the one who like similar vibe to this. You know what I mean? Like that same sort of
and
like,
people hated him for it. They did not like that he called out people for being fake because
people were beating scientific tests, you know what I mean? And he was like, nope, got you.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where they like the idea of paranormal and supernatural and stuff being real more than some guy disproving it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Pretty crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just like dreams. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening and supporting us here on
Just Like
Patreon.
Thank you. I love that. That's clean.
Yeah, it's a clean segue. Yeah. We love you. We'll see you next week. And that's it. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage.
Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Minisode. We're trying to do the Ace ASMR thing, okay?
Oh, all right. Well, then you should do it like.
Welcome back.
No, all right, Alex. No? Let's less ASMR, more ghost. Whoa. Mathis, I don't know what you're doing. A little pervy.
Welcome back.
Here's ASMR. I got you guys.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome back, 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 back,
back, back, back, back, back, back, back, back, back, back, back, back, back,
back, back, back, back, back, back, back, Welcome back.
That's terrible.
Welcome back.
Anyway, can't wait for this to come
168,
out.
Something like that. What'd you bring to the table for me today, boys? What do we have? Do we want to talk about just the ad? Did you see the Martin Scorsese ad? There's really nothing to talk about. It's an ad. You didn't watch it?
No.
It's only like a minute long.
You're not going to sell me on websites. They can't get
Squarespace.com. They can sponsor us.
I'm not gonna watch
They're
an
welcome
ad
to.
For fun. No, it's Scorsese, whatever. It's fine.
Fine. All right. All right. What'd you bring?
I have a reader story, listener story that I think is more than interesting.
More than interesting.
I'd say it's hot off the presses, good shit. Do you wanna hear it? Are you ready for it?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
do we have a choice?
No, this is from Agitated Account 8546. It's called Navy UFO UAP Experience. Is this where we post the stories? Longtime listener and always thought I should share this story with you guys. This is a story of what I actually saw while I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy from 2009 to 2015. In 2012, we were somewhere in the Persian Gulf providing security to the aircraft carrier in our strike group. This is something we did often. It made up about 80% of our deployments during the War on Terror. I had just gotten off my watch, and it was like 1 a.m. I went to the back of our boat called the Fantail, where we had our smoke deck. Bad habit, I know, but in the Navy, the only time you get a break is if you smoke. While I was out there, there were a few others out there with me as well. One guy was a CT and handled a lot of tech stuff and had like top secret security clearance as he handled the encrypted messages the ship would get. Another was a gunner's mate. And then there was the saltiest senior chief you could imagine. Old guy, like, didn't take any bullshit and would tell you how it was. While we were out there, we saw two solid bright lights moving in the carrier's direction. Not unusual or anything. But the senior chief grunted and said something under his breath about, like, that's weird. We asked him what, and he said, he just came from combat, referring to the combat central where they watch all the radars and stuff. And they didn't have any flights in the area. Just then, we heard his radio. It was the captain calling from the pilot house asking combat to ID the lights on the radar. They called back saying radar is clear. The captain, clearly irritated, said to turn on high frequency radar because they have eyes on two aircraft headed directly towards the carrier. We had since moved closer towards the aircraft carrier and we could hear their intercom on the carrier calling to ready the alert 5 aircraft. If you've watched Top Gun, you know these are pilots that get in their jets and should be ready to launch at moment's notice. Still watching these lights coming closer, but not like changing direction or anything, and they didn't seem to be changing elevation. The senior chief's radio came on again. The captain, furious at this point, is screaming at combat, give me a fucking ID on those aircraft again. They respond, nothing is on radar. It was this moment we hear an alarm from the carrier, and they launch the Alert 5 jets. Two F-18s launch, and a third launches shortly after them. They go fully vertical at full afterburner. It was so loud and had their huge orange and blue cones behind them. They start climbing quickly, and at this point, the two lights suddenly just stop, like not slow to a stop, like full immediate stop. All of a sudden, these two lights start shooting back the same direction they came, but like three times faster than they come. The CT guy was watching like, what the fuck? Saying there's no possible way something could turn and move like that. Our three jets, still at full afterburn, are leveled out now, chasing these lights that are moving way faster than our F-18s. We stood out there shocked watching this as they're way in the distance now, way ahead of our jets. When the ship calls on the intercom to set River City 4, which is like code for shutting down internet and phones and basically shutting down all ways the crew can communicate with the outside world. I went to bed, or attempted to at least, and never heard anything about it the next day. The internet was back on and everything like it had never happened. I almost thought I dreamed it, but the guys that were out there all affirmed that it in fact happened. I had always had an idea that aliens were real. It's funny hearing all these stories about pilots' real encounters now and the government basically saying, yeah, this is all real and we have no clue what it is. But seeing something like that night, watching the most capable military aircraft totally get smoked in a speed test and something completely evading all radar, it completely eliminated any ounce of doubt in my mind at that point. I'd love to hear your take on what I saw. Totally feel free to use it on the podcast. I don't believe in all the deep alien stuff about reptilians and grays and stuff, but there's definitely something bigger out there that we are seeing. I just really like hearing you guys break things down, and I love how passionate you guys get about this stuff, except for Alex, but I'm a huge history buff too, so I love historical perspectives on things too. Roasted. If you need more details or whatever to verify the story, I can provide some. I specifically left out the name of the ship I was on and the carrier. What do you think about that?
I mean, you know, I love the story, first of all. Fucking
interesting, right?
It lines up with a lot of the public whistleblower stories of like Graves. Though Graves saw a lot more than that. But it's that same thing. It's making maneuvers at speeds that shouldn't be able to happen unless they would liquefy the person if there's a person in there. Turns at angles that make no sense. Stopping on a dime and being able to just outrun your goddamn best airplanes is what I don't know what to say. Like, I have no answer. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, It's a very realistic story, a very like standard story, and I love the sort of over itness that military guys that I talk to these days have about this type of stuff. Now they're like, "Oh, I guess people are finally catching up to this stuff," you know?
Because I mean, yeah, because
they're
think
used
about
to
it.
Not
I mean,
knowing the answers and knowing that it exists, which is interesting.
What's really cool is the podcast has been around long enough now, where like we were. It, around when like a public like, or rather like official UAP report through lines for pilots and stuff became like actual, because before it was nothing more than like you might write a note in a notebook, but there was no way to report it and you were laughed at if you did, so you just didn't. And that new official like reporting of UAP sightings is new, so like we're kind of getting, you know, more and more stories of these pilots who see things. There was a thing that not leaked, it came out yesterday. It was Canadian Airlines and a bunch of Canadian, it's only the audio, but it's Canadian pilots talking back and forth because they're watching these lights in the sky that are moving in ways that it shouldn't, and they can't explain it. And they, you know, it's happening all over the place. It's been happening for a long time. We just only now are having the ability to have more of a public discussion around it without it being seen as laughable for everybody.
It's wild to imagine, like showing you an article from today at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's very, but like, I definitely like, it's not the first story I've heard like that. We've had a couple emails like that. They didn't give any permission to like talk about on the show. So make sure if you ever want us to read something on the show,
really, I need explicit permission. The only time I've ever broken the rule was for Kells, because I was able to just directly ask her.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And even then you didn't break the rules. So
yeah, I still got permission.
Yeah, exactly. But it's fascinating because there is no explanation, right? Like that's the thing. And that's what's so difficult to talk about. It's I don't know. I don't know what it could be. The radars pick it up. They have eyes on it. They try and follow it, and there's
something.
Just no way.
Yeah. It's literally it's something.
Something is there. Physically something is clearly there. Yeah, it's weird, man. It's very, very weird.
I'm trying to find the G-force of just stopping. I'm fascinated because, like, the G-force of traveling very quickly is one thing, but it's the same thing when you decelerate very quickly. There's another opposite. I'm trying to figure out, like, because you were saying liquefying, if you know, G-forces, can you mash?
Let me see.
Have you ever seen anyone?
You said it was an F-15?
F-18.
Have you ever seen anyone get hit with G-forces? And there's videos of it. They instantly become old people. It's like the gravity pushes their skin in the craziest ways.
It's like, and one of the big things that's stopping us from space travel.
Yeah, and so if there's like an instant stop, that, you know how when you land, there's a whole experience there if you're in a plane. So an instant stop, you wouldn't just forward. The air would like leave your lung.
You turn to cheese.
Clue.
You turn to like shredded
cheese.
And I
see nothing. I guess because I see nothing on here.
I'm going to get you the G-forces here in a second.
I mean,
I'm
notion is that these alien craft use gravity, right? Like they manipulate gravity itself. So you might not have to experience G-forces.
Theoretically. It's, whatever they're doing, gravity isn't affecting them in the way it affects physics as we know it.
That's the hypothesis, right? Yeah.
But they could be created. Like, if we are going nuts and bolts, they're using technology. It's not like another dimension thing. Then, they have to have come up with a way to maybe create a mini well of gravity in front of them or any direction that they're going. So they're traveling via gravity pulling them, which is why we don't see like any physical form of like an afterburner or any form of propulsion. It's interesting. I don't know. So from going from an F-18 Hornet at full speed to stopping that happens at about over the course of a single second is approximately 62.9 G's.
There's no insane. All right. 10 G's messes you up. Nine
that's what I'm saying.
G's
liquefied. Liquefied. No, and that's just the F-18 Hornet going at its max speed. These things are going even faster.
Which didn't even kiss the things in this story.
F-18 Hornets, their max speed is Mach 1.8. That's as fast as they can possibly
go. Also, just for the record, like the way planes are designed, they're not designed to stop. Midair, they aren't designed to hover. The lift under the wings and whatnot. The whole idea is you're moving forward, right? Like there is no like it's the reverse on the plane. Like that's not how that shit works. And so I genuinely don't know. These are the things I think are fascinating when they're like it just stopped. That makes me think maybe optical illusion, but also maybe
but then
not.
It moves and then it moves and it goes and it changes direction.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no answers. It's fascinating. Yeah,
and that's what's weird about it is like it would make more sense again looking at it as a nuts and bolts. It would make more sense if it's like an unmanned drone. If we're taking extraterrestrial and it's
there's
like technology.
There's nothing particularly unique about this story that makes it any more or less believable than any story that we have like actual footage of that's been confirmed by Congress.
Correct. Yeah.
Like this sounds like one of the real stories that we've heard of. And then a tentacle shot out and like sucked out some dude's brain and took him away. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing like that.
Just a thing that seems to be watching them or engage in like is clearly like responding to them trying to catch up by moving further away at a faster and faster speed. They're picking it up on radar. So it's like if it's being picked up on radar, it can't be just an optical illusion.
Right.
Like if it is being physically picked up at base, then it is something in the air. It is picking something up.
But they didn't pick it up on the radar on the ship.
I thought he said he did pick it up. Oh, did I miss
that? No, they didn't pick it up.
No,
that was why the captain was like, what's going on?
Okay, so that's interesting then, yeah. So I guess it was, but if it's, I guess I want clarity. Like, was it moving erratically? Like, how was it moving?
No, they said it was approaching the ship.
It's just typical.
It was coming, and they thought that they should be seeing it, and they just weren't seeing it. It's just crazy. It's just a crazy thing.
But that's what happens to commercial airliners too. When you hear their audio, they go back and they radio back and they're like, yeah, we don't have anything on radar. And they're like, we see these flashing lights. They're in front of us, maybe approximately X miles. But it might be active like because that was the thing with the Mosul orb and the other footage that we have. The one part that we really never talk about or talked about on the show rather, but it's talked about everywhere else. Is they couldn't actively lock onto it, which is why it was always like a panning, like following, because they couldn't actively lock onto any of these things. And so it would make sense if they're not appearing on the radar, then it would probably be like a jamming of some sort. Yeah, it's weird. It's fucking weird.
Or just better tech. Like there's things that don't appear on radar now that we have.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but like it's that coupled with moving in a way physics doesn't explain as we know it.
Yeah. Well, physics could explain it. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah, we can't make our things go that fast. Yeah, right, physics right. gets better. Yeah, physics explain it. We don't have the capabilities because we're still using basically explosions to propel us forward.
Right.
If you think about it, that's what we're doing. Like, that's how we move forward with all of our machines.
You're
it's explosions right. that the throw our machines
in. The combustion engine. Yeah.
Yeah, like
yeah, we
like,
just shoot the gas out of, like, a certain direction, and that was, like, the big winner.
And set it on fire. Just, that's how
it,
we move.
Then it. We've reached yeah. peak. We won't ever change.
Yeah, why bother?
I love the story. So thank you for the story. It just makes me go and more like curious
Alex. We like that part.
Yep, I appreciate that.
He was just like, I love the show would... except for Alex, and have a great day.
Jesse, what do you have for us?
Well, gentlemen, in case you weren't aware or you're out of the loop, NASA sent a probe to the asteroid Bennu. And it scooped up a whole bunch of that space rock, and it finally brought it back. And the reason why this is super awesome and super important, the reason why they would do that is because the thought was the asteroid would contain leftovers from the formation of the solar system about 4.5 billion years ago. And so
that seems dope.
They got samples of the space rock, and like most things NASA does, as I think we've discovered on this podcast, they kind of like dole it out to different universities and different scientists, and everyone gets a little bit to mess with.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of these bits of samples went to the University of Arizona, which received, according to them, 200 milligrams of space dust for analysis. And the cool thing that everyone's sort of discovering about these Bennu samples is that it contains plenty of waterlocked minerals, like things that suck up water, like clay, and things that are rich in carbon, nitrogen, sulfur, and phosphorus. And I guess there's going to be the Lunar and Planetary Science Conference held in Woodlands, Texas next month that will be about sort of discoveries on this. And they're already saying one of the early findings is that the asteroid's material under inspection looks distinct and different from anything else they've ever seen in their meteorite collection. The biggest thing they found is that the asteroid contains high concentrations of phosphate, which has never been seen in meteorites before. However, these high concentrations have been detected in extraterrestrial ocean worlds. For instance, one of Saturn's moons, Enceladus, I hope that's how you pronounce that, contains these high phosphates, a key building block for life, and at levels which are higher than Earth's oceans. And then one of the quotes was, asteroid Bennu may be a fragment from an ancient world. This is still highly speculative, but it is the best lead that we have right now to explain the origin of the material. And that's kind of where they're at. They're going to do a whole conference on it. And I think that's super interesting that we can land on asteroids now and scoop up bits. And two, that we're learning, like, wow, this thing that hasn't been touched since whatever the hell happened to it has a historical record of, like, an ancient alien world? Very cool stuff.
I mean, the other thing is we talked about last week is they also, you know, NASA also talked about recently the whole super Earth that they discovered with the Hubble, mm-hmm. Not the Hubble telescope, the James Webb telescope, which is...
Well, this thing crazy. Is interesting because it isn't out there stuff. This is an ancient world with water from our own solar system, which could be one of those, like... Again, past Mars is an asteroid field, and no one's quite sure what the hell caused that. Potentially, a planet was there, and now it's no longer there. And so... maybe there was at one time in the 4.5 billion years that our solar system existed, another planet that existed there and was destroyed by some means. And we have some sort of record of its existence from that asteroid that's flying around. It's interesting stuff. We just don't know. Our solar system's been around a while, and we are like even dinosaurs are a little baby fraction of that.
It's like an ice core of the whole everything. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's nuts. Kind of going on that, there's an update with Avi Loeb, which is what I want to talk about today.
Oh.
If you don't remember who Avi Loeb is, he was the one that got the funding to go out into the ocean and track the meteor, and he got a bunch of stuff. And then he, much like Jesse, you were talking about with that, he took all those things and sent it to multiple universities to make sure it was like studied under appropriate, you know, scientific method. Mm-hmm. And he has come back with some evidence that we're going to talk about. This was published two days ago, and I'm reading this on good old WGBH.org. Shout out to that. I used to watch that channel a lot as a kid. Harvard astronomy professor Avi Loeb believes he has new evidence of the extraterrestrial nature of this asteroid. I don't know why they put alien spacecraft. He never says that. Weird. Last June, he recovered a small magnetic spherules from the Pacific Ocean and claims that the small round objects were from a watermelon-sized object that collided with Earth in 2014. And remember, he worked with the government where they had kind of narrowed down where they believe it had hit. And that's when he went out there for 2 or 3 weeks. He goes, quote, "It raises the possibility that it may have been a Voyager-like meteor, maybe artificially made by an ancient civilization." He first put out a preprint with his findings last summer. And since then, several researchers unrelated to the expedition have, of course, pushed back on his analysis. One 2023 paper deemed the spherules were made by human-produced coal ash. And so he's been working to see if that's true. And he goes on to say, Loeb put out this week that he debunked the theory. Quote, "What we did is compare 55 elements from the periodic table in coal ash to those special spherules that we found. And it's very clearly different things. It's not based on opinions. And of course, if you're not part of the scientific process misunderstand the process itself, that you can obviously raise a lot of criticism." But he goes, "By now, my skin has turned into titanium." Loeb rose to prominence when he controversially claimed that the Oumuamua, 100 meters long, cigar-shaped interstellar object that passed through our solar system in 2017, may have been created by an intelligent civilization. And in 2021, to remind you, he published a paper disputing the theory that the gases that were kind of shot out from the Oumuamua were the reason it left its orbit in a weird way that was unpredictable. He showed that the heat temperature and the chemicals that are the solid chemicals that are on the asteroid wouldn't have melted gas itself in a way that it would have been able to propel itself out of orbit from where it was. You can go read it and read a scientist's words instead of mine, because, you know, that's how I don't understand it fully. And he simply said that the best approach to figure it out is actually do the scientific work of building observatories that look out and check what these objects are. And if they happen to be birds or airplanes or Chinese balloons, so be it. We can move on after that. But we need to figure it out. It's our civil duty as scientists. The universe is so vast that rather than keep telling ourselves that there is nothing like us, we should search for it. And he's the one that believes this meteor is the first truly interstellar object to collide with Earth. That this meteor, whether it's alien or not, is still from outside of our solar system, because it's made of things that are just not possible within what we know of our own solar system right now.
I wish.
And he goes on. So he basically disproved it, and he's continuing to move forward that, yeah, this is looking continuing to prove that this is beyond our solar system. It is alien in nature.
I love that that's where it's headed. But I'm also like so curious. Like, I know this is going out just to patrons, right? Which is not the largest sample size of people. But I imagine if you're a big listener of the show, and maybe you're in academia, maybe you're a contemporary of this man, maybe you've met this man, maybe you know who this guy is, or maybe you've in your own work had to read some of this man's work for some reason or interact with him in some way. I would just love to know what the vibe is here. Do you know what I mean? Because listening to the way that he's being reported on, he sounds heroic to me. He sounds interesting. He sounds like somebody that I want to root for, right? And that's good, but I want to know what the vibe is on him, like from other people with his job. I just want to know. If you are out there and you listen to this show and you know the answer to that question, let me hear it. I want to know your credentials, and I want to know what the vibe is. I just want to know. I want to know what the guy is, because I think he's the most interesting guy. He just like does exactly what he's supposed to do. He doesn't care what anybody says, and he only hits you back with like numbers and facts and figures, and then he just goes back to his like weird ass thing that he's doing. I love that.
What's weird, it's like you have to do the groundwork in order to either prove or disprove it. That is the scientific method. And if there is a question as to whether this meteor came from outside of our solar system, isn't that what your scientists should be doing, is going to try and find it and figure out if it is or isn't by looking at what it's made up of and the chemicals that are like inside of it? Like, why is he being laughed at for doing this? I don't understand. So it's very weird to me too.
Yeah.
I don't know, because aliens are like kooky and saying
yeah,
like,
they're wild, dude.
Because his statements, I mean, yeah, he's, when the rest of the scientific community was like, this big, weird looking asteroids coming at us, he was like, that's a probe, dude. And I feel like that's one of those things where people balk at it.
It's a bold thing to say.
Because it's
a bold thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that
it's do the work. If you're going to make a proclamation like that, then it's your duty to do the work to either prove yourself right or wrong.
Sure, which
scientists,
I think he's trying to do,
should
but
have
it's
good
also
imaginations.
But scientists are also about the observable and what you can prove.
Which is why quantum,
so not being able to directly prove it. That's why you're not going to find a lot of scientists who are like, yes, I do believe in fortune telling. Like, there's no direct way to prove it unless you do studies.
Exactly.
And no, strangely enough,
nobody's
no fortune tellers
that.
Are like,
yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to fund that study anyway.
First off, no one's going to fund it, but also no one's going to be in it.
I don't, you know, take that money you're going to fund to fortune telling and put it toward quantum science studies. Because I want that field of study to just keep being pushed, man. That's where my interest is.
Give it to those
time
dudes.
Travel.
Like, every few months, there's like another guy who's like, oh, we almost figured out how to stop cancer. Give it to those guys. I feel like they
too.
Probably are almost there.
Cause. Yeah, please. Yeah, that's a great cause.
I want to be either cancer free or Dr. Manhattan within the next 5 years, please.
Cancer free or the one who causes cancer?
No, he doesn't cause cancer. He was accused of causing cancer.
He was accused. Yeah, it was a setup.
Calculated PR campaign to make him leave the planet Earth in time.
So
for
am I part of that PR campaign?
Stage his coup.
Maybe I'm getting paid to say the things that I'm being said that I'm saying right
That's
now.
That's true. That's
Who
worth
knows?
Thinking about. Worth talking about. It's
and
what
I'm certainly
you think
getting
of Rorschach
paid
to... is what you think of a lot of things.
Whoa, that's deep. Whoa, that's so deep. And I'm getting paid to end this episode. Thank you guys so much for supporting us here at patreon.com/JewMinutePod. We'll be back next week with another one. We love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Matt.